All right. We're going to pray, and then we'll stand and sing this morning. Well, Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you meet us right where we're at, even when we're a disaster. And maybe that's how, I know that's how I'm coming in this morning, Lord. Maybe that's how somebody else might be coming in through the doors. But, Lord, you love us right where we are. And we just thank you for your unconditional love for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us there either. God, that you call us to become more like you. And you walk with us as we do that. And Lord, we just pray that everything that is said and done in this place today, Lord, whether it's the message, the words that we sing, Lord, the conversations that we have, God, that you would be in it, Lord, that you would be glorified through it, God, and Lord, that your love would shine. We love you, and we thank you, and we praise you, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Call it a reason to retreat. I got some dreams that are bigger than me. I might be outmatched, outsized, the underdog in the fight of my life. Is it so crazy to believe that you're game?
Morning, everyone. I'd like to just start us off with prayer today. Lord, our society needs to just breathe deep. Breathe deep the breath of God. There's so much tension. There are things happening all over the world that put us on edge. Father, might we put our faith, our trust in you. Lord, be with us today as we go through this message and this whole series of considering who is Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, all over the world, everybody's dropping bombs. We're dropping bombs in Ukraine and in Russia, and they're dropping bombs over in the Middle East, and dropping bombs in Myanmar, and dropping bombs. There are 32 different world conflicts going on right now. 32. And we ask, what's our response as a church, as Christians? We're supposed to be dropping some bombs too, but they're grace bombs. They're grace bombs. And later this spring, even into the summer, we're going to be doing a series called Grace Bombs. Grace bombs. What are grace bombs? Grace is undeserved favor. Grace is when we give someone something back that is in kindness and love, and it's something they don't deserve at all. And so I was just thinking about that this morning as I was sitting back there concentrating very diligently on the music team. I could put the picture up there Ella took. I was sitting back there and I had my phone like this, and I was watching Calvin's baseball game in Florida. I turned it off, okay? They're still playing right here. I told Ella, I said, do you think anybody will notice if I put it here? And just be like, and then Jesus said, yes! Nice hit. Jesus said, nice hit. But I didn't. I put it away. So we're doing this series, Who is Jesus? You know, this guy here, he's probably more what Jesus looked like. You know, my kids grew up knowing that I call our American or European painting of Jesus, you know, with the flowing hair and the blue eyes and the light skin. Our kids will tell you, what's his name? Kevin. I would always walk into a church and be like, oh, there he is. And my kids would be like, I'd be like, oh, look, it's Kevin. Because I'm like, that's not what Jesus looked like. Because the Bible said there was nothing about him in appearance that drew people to himself. He just looked like an average Middle Eastern guy. And so we're going to be looking over the next, until Easter, at who is Jesus? Now, I need to tell you right off, we are not going to use the Bible at all today. Eesh, can you believe it? Tom even asked me, he was like, can you send me the Bible text beforehand so I can practice it and stuff? I was like, no, we're not using the Bible this week. Because we're going to be talking about something that people will throw at you, throw at me, that I've heard over the course of my life. When people say, you use your book to prove that your book is true. Why should I believe that? And so it's something called the Jesus myth that we're going to take apart today by looking at other sources that confirm that Jesus did exist, that Jesus walked on our soil, that Jesus was among us, that he was fully man, fully God. But this morning, we're going to be looking at people like Tacitus and Josephus and some other guys that you're going to go, what? And so as I was preparing for it, I'm like, boy, history. So hang in there. But we're first going to start off, I think it's crazy that people believe that Jesus was never an actual living person, that he was all made up. Do you know that we are living in a time right now that people believe some crazy stuff? And they're all finding each other because we have this internet thing. So now there's thousands of them who are all like, I believe that too. And so I put together some of the list here of some things I was looking at this week for some of the conspiracy theories. This one I loved. Did you know people believe that the Egyptians employed the dinosaurs to build the pyramids? They trained the dinosaurs to build the pyramids. You guys are looking at me like nobody in their right mind would believe that. And I'm like, exactly. We're going to find out this morning. Nobody in their right mind would believe that Jesus never existed. Another one, I like this one. President Obama, when he was president, there seemed to be these storms that happened every time he got into trouble. And so this conspiracy theory came out that he had a secret device that controlled the weather. So he could be like, uh-oh, I'm in the news for this. Storm in Florida, storm here. I don't know where that device went because now that one's kind of gone away. Another one, the chemtrails that they've been working to control our minds, and Big Pharma has been poisoning us, so we'll need the medicine and all that because it's chemtrails. And I'm always like, it's called physics. You can make chemtrails. When you go outside and it's very cold, and you go, oh, and you see that crystallized air? That's what happens when hot air meets very cold air. It's very easy to explain. Another one, I love this one. Hitler lives on the moon. There are thousands of people who believe this. Hitler lives on the moon. He's not really dead. They escaped after and went to the moon where he's hiding out. I'm like, how old would he be? Maybe the moon, no atmosphere, makes you live. But and the Beatles were trained and sent here by MI6. They were secret agents, the Beatles. You know why? The Queen wanted to get all American young people rebellious and hooked on drugs. Because the Queen had the biggest drug cartel in the world at that time. So that was the reasoning she used the Beatles. The earth is hollow. That's another one. It's all that gravity stuff and all the people who keep drilling down. I don't know, but it's hollow. It's like, it's not even like one of those Cadbury eggs that you open up. It's just, it's like that cheap Easter bunny thing you'd always get as a kid and feel like, I was tricked. You'd get this Easter bunny, you bite into it and be like, hollow? Don't be buying me no hollow Easter bunnies. I want a solid 3-pound Easter bunny. The Denver airport, get this one. How many of you have flown through Denver? I have, yep. The Denver airport has a gateway. It's a port to hell. That's where you go. I would believe Newark Airport, hell, definitely. That's not even a gateway. I would believe that. But supposedly, because there are some art installations, people believe there's a gateway to hell where you can go, direct hole right into hell.
Scott, Miami Airport.
Miami. When we went to Guatemala,
yeah.
I didn't find the port. I didn't find the hole, but I'm pretty sure it was there. And the thing is about the Miami, to tell you guys, on our last mission trip, we went to Miami, and our airlines decided that they didn't want to go to Guatemala until tomorrow. But everybody just go over there and hang out. And they said, we have no pilot. It was a terrible thing. And so we all stayed on the floor of the Miami airport. Now, the reason I don't think that was hell is because we were freezing. They don't turn down the AC when the airport is empty. So there we all were, 12 of us, freezing. I was even considering looting one of the gift stores. I was like, can I reach through that gate and get a sweatshirt? We'll pay tomorrow. Please, please. So, and the last one, I like this one. The dinosaurs didn't actually go extinct. Did you know that? What actually happened was aliens came. They worked with the dinosaurs, gave them the ability to shapeshift, so that now the dinosaurs are actually our world leaders. So whenever you look at a world leader, you know, whether it's Putin, Trump, whoever, just picture them with a lizard head. They're not real people. They're lizard people. I didn't really look into why in that. So this morning we're going to look at the Jesus myth, where people believe that Jesus wasn't even a real person. He's a myth. The whole thing was invented. You ever have somebody say that to you? You ever heard that one? I've heard it a bunch of times. People are like, you really buy all that? These guys said that the conspiracy is they made all this up and tricked the whole world. They tricked the whole world, and he didn't really exist. But here's the thing. Did Jesus exist is not a Bible question. It's a history question. The existence of somebody is not a faith issue. It's a history issue. We can prove and we can see evidence of people who have existed. I was going to bring some tinfoil this morning and make a tinfoil hat. But I ran out of time because last week I didn't turn off my tablet, so there was a little bit of crisis this morning going, how am I going to know what I have to say? So the tinfoil hat, if you brought yours, put it on now. No, you didn't bring it. Okay, so we're going to look at some ridiculous claims that people who believe that Jesus never existed believe. The first one, Jesus is the Son. Not the S-O-N, the S-U-N, hot sky. Jesus is a symbol. He's representative of the Son. And you know how we do this? We know this? He had 12 disciples. And there are 12 signs of the zodiac. Well, I give up. You got me. You got me. The second one. Jesus was a word-for-word copy-and-paste meme of the Egyptian god Horus. So they say Horus had, look, he was born December 25th. Interesting, because the Egyptians didn't use our calendar. But anyway, let's pretend. He was born December 25th. He had 12 disciples. He was crucified. Whew. You look and you go, well, again, you got me. That must be what Jesus, the story of Jesus, is just a copy of Horus. Now, here's the problem. Horus's mother, though they claim it was a virgin birth and all this, Horus's mother, after their cousin chopped up the dad in little pieces, because this is Egyptian gods, that Horus's mother took all the little pieces, put them all together, and magically created Horus, who, by the way, is a falcon. He's an Egyptian guy who stands there, falcon head. So that's what he is. He's a falcon. And so we look, Horus wasn't born. He was made out of magic. He didn't have 12 disciples. So as we can see, he had, they refer in the writings of Horus that he had 8 followers, 16 followers. It's all over the place. But this 12 number, they say they've taken it word for word. And he definitely wasn't crucified because he's an Egyptian god. They don't die. So when somebody says, well, it's just the Horus, story of Horus, you know, just cut and paste. You didn't even try hard, you Christians. Didn't even try hard. The third one, the invisible historian. They say to you, there are no mentions anywhere in other historians of Jesus. We're about to find out. Sorry, that one's wrong. The fourth one, you know, look and say, or the fifth one, whichever one, where are we at? We're at fourth. I like this one. The Romans invented Jesus. I guess they just wanted to invent something that would give them a pain in the butt for 300 years by having Christians following this guy. The Romans invented him. This one, Paul made up the whole thing. He just made it all up, wrote it down. Now, Paul, if you read his writings, he talks about other people who are living there with him and sharing in the ministry. If you're going to make up a story about what's happening, you probably shouldn't include living people who are right there with you. Because if I said, you know, Jazz and I, we're really excited. She said, we're going on an archaeological dig in the spring. And she said it's going to be really cool, and she was going to come with us, and it would be awesome. And Jazz is looking at me like, what are you talking about? You don't make up a story and put living eyewitnesses in your story with you if it's made up. Because they'll say, huh? That never happened. What are you talking about? And I like this one. Jesus was Julius Caesar in disguise. So Julius Caesar used to put on his Jesus costume for 3.5 years, wander around, do all these things. I just wonder how he managed to fool Pontius Pilate. Oh, you say, well, that didn't really happen, though. That didn't really happen. Well, hang on. We're going to find out. So some of the skeptics... When we look at some of the skeptics of Jesus actually living, there's a guy, his name is Bart Ehrman. He's what you would call a skeptical scholar. He's done a lot of research. And he's a respected, historian a little bit, or one of the most respected. So here's the problem. Even though he's a professor of religious studies, even though he's a former believer in Christ who lost his faith, and he's an author of these books, Misquoting Jesus, Jesus Interrupted, Forged, about Christians forging this history, and he's spent 30 years challenging Christianity. So you got it, he's not on our team. Got it? He doesn't like us. Doesn't like us at all. He wrote this in his book, Did Jesus Exist? Mythicists, as a group, are not taken seriously. Those are the people who say that Jesus never existed. Bart, who's not on our team, says, those mythicists, as a group, are not taken seriously by the vast majority of scholars in the field of New Testament early Christianity, ancient history, and theology. And then he wrote, of the thousands of scholars of early Christianity who teach at accredited institution, none of them, to my knowledge, has any doubts that Jesus existed. So you know what this is historians who know their stuff say, those who believe Jesus never walked on the earth and was just a legend, they are nuttier than a fruitcake. That's what they're saying. They're saying they're nutty. It's fringe. Nearly every credentialed historian. That's a lot. Believe that Jesus existed. So that's where we're going today. You with me? I think we need a snack. Because this is a history sermon, you know, a history sermon. Here, if it makes, take one, you know, and pass them on. If it makes it back to you, if it doesn't make it back to you, you should have sat closer. Because, you know, when you're teaching kids and stuff, you got to take a break, you got to have a snack, bring them back in before we start diving into the stuff. So feel free, eat some Thin Mints. Roland's got a house full. And Danielle is doing them. So here's the first thing I want us to look at. Roman officials, outside of the Bible, Roman officials confirm the core fact. The core facts of Jesus are confirmed by Roman officials. Now here's what I got to ask you. Do you believe the Roman officials are real? Do you believe that Caesar is real? Or were they made up too? Do you believe? I mean, we've got to look. If we're going to say Jesus didn't exist, then we've got to look at the people who wrote about him and say, oh, they must have not existed either. So we're going to look at some of them. These are all what we call hostile witnesses. They're hostile witnesses. What's a hostile witness? It's someone who has every reason to argue against your case, but testifies in your favor anyway. Okay, they testify in your favor anyway. Their testimony carries extra weight because they have no motive to help you. Every Roman source we're about to look at is a hostile witness. First up, the facts. You need to meet this character. 2,000 years ago, his name was Tacitus. It's hard to find pictures from 2,000 years ago. But when we look and we want to meet Tacitus, we see that Tacitus was a good, oh, wait a minute. What? Ella, did you do that? Tacitus was a guy that if he wrote a Yelp review about Christianity, he would have said, deadly superstition, do not recommend. 1 star. Also, your founder definitely existed and was not crucified. I mean, and was crucified. All right? So Tacitus, we're going to see in his writings, confirms some things about Jesus. In that Yelp review, he's definitely a hostile witness. So in this writing called the Annals, which you can look at, there's reference, take a picture of it, go Google it. He was a Roman senator, consul, and he's one of the greatest historians of ancient times. Now, in fact, Rome commissioned to have a historian writing stuff. And Tacitus was our primary, just one guy, giving us evidence of what we know about early Rome in the first century. He wrote about Nero blaming the Christians for the great fire of Rome. If you're a historian, you know, Rome burned down. We know that it was not the Christians, that it was the Roman government that was trying to get the attention on the Christians. We know that. He called Christianity a deadly superstition. He called it hideous and shameful. And he actively despised Christians and everything they stood for. Okay, so let's look at what he wrote. Priestess, from whom the name had its origin, that's Jesus Christ, the reference, suffered the extreme penalty. He used the words extreme penalty. In Rome, that was known as crucifixion, death by crucifixion. Suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procurators. I don't know if he was. Yeah. I don't know if he had kids. I don't know. But at the hands of Pontius Pilate. So he's writing this about the Christians who he opposes. So what does his writing confirm? His writing confirms that a man named Christ existed. It confirms the extreme penalty. The story of the crucifixion is real. It confirms that Pontius Pilate ordered it. It confirms that it happened during the reign of Tiberius. And it confirms that the movement started in Judea and spread all the way to Rome. Okay, so that's Tacitus. There's another guy. Why don't we name our kids this anymore? Pliny the Younger. Pliny the Younger was also a guy who... Ella, hello. That's obviously Jake Groom. Yeah, that's you. That's you. But here's Pliny the Younger. He wrote these things, the letters, and you can see the reference to it right up there. And there's his actual statue that we have. And so he was Roman governor, province in Turkey. He was writing to Emperor Trajan. And he wrote that Christians are a civic nuisance, an economic nuisance. They're a bother. You know why? He wrote that they were impacting, because so many people were becoming converted, they were impacting attendance at the pagan temples. And with less attendance, there was less money. So he's writing that these Christians, they are an economic strain. So the pagan temples are losing business. He describes Christians gathering before dawn. This is what he wrote. They were accustomed to meet on a fixed day before dawn and sing responsively a hymn to Christ as a God. You notice he didn't say to something they made up called Christ. Again, he's referring to something that is happening, that's going on, that is provable. So, okay, if you don't believe Jesus ever existed, and it's only in the book that we Christians have, then you need to start going and saying, sorry, Tacitus, you don't exist. Sorry, you don't exist. And here's the thing with the pictures of those guys. We know them. We know them, we're friends with them, we laugh, we joke together. And Tacitus and Pliny the Elder were living people who had the same. They, if they had PowerPoint, maybe they had the same presentation. I don't know. different pictures. They say, oh, look at the bust of you. And so that Pliny reveals that within 80 years of the crucifixion, the movement reached Rome, and some he interviewed had been Christians for 25 years. So it reveals that Christ was already the center of organized pre-dawn worship, and it was large enough to be a problem economically. So when we see, you just don't get pre-dawn prayer meetings and write about them about a person who didn't exist. It just doesn't make sense. So, and then we had other sources, non-Roman sources, Jewish, Greek, Syrian. When we look at them and find out what they wrote, Josephus. When we saw Josephus as a guy, you know, likable guy, nice beard, Josephus was, Ella swapped that one out too, evidently, okay. Josephus, this guy, a Jew, who actually switched teams. He was a Jew who started writing for the Romans as a historian. He was a Jewish priest and historian writing for the Romans, all right? And he had no theological motivation to confirm that Jesus existed. And he had every political reason not to. And he mentions Jesus twice, the James passage and another where he says that James passage is virtually, nobody debates it as real. This is what he wrote, just in passing, James, the brother of Jesus called Christ, and he went on. Now, if somebody doesn't exist, you probably don't write about their brother, do you? No, your story's getting weaker and weaker. And some who don't believe that this, they say this isn't referring to Jesus Christ. It's a different Jesus and who had a different brother, a brother named James. Just a coincidence. Now, there are certain people who are famous. If I am writing and saying, you know, truly, LeBron is the greatest, none of you are thinking I mean LeBron who lives on Main Street in Georgia, right? You're thinking the basketball player. And this reference, James, the brother of Jesus, who was called Christ, is a reference to somebody who does exist. It's a casual reference, and it's clear in his writing. So here's why it's ironclad. Some people will say it was forged. Christians wrote it later. Well, they wouldn't have written it so casually. Forgers tended to be much more detailed. You don't identify somebody's brother who doesn't exist. Then Lucian. All right, we have Lucian of Samosata. That's definitely Todd. Look at that smile. Lucian, here's this guy. Look at him quickly. He is a stand-up comedian, all right? He, at that time, he's a Greek satirist. He likes to make jokes. He's the ancient world's late-night stand-up. He's Jimmy Fallon, okay? He is the one who makes his career mocking gullible people. He refers to Christ as a crucified sophist and says that he founded the movement in Palestine. And he never questions whether Jesus existed. He's too busy mocking the followers. Now, if you had a lot of followers following somebody who never existed and was made up and you're a comedian, that's gold. That they're all following somebody who never existed and was named Horus, a falcon. You would definitely do that. And then this guy, Mara Bar Serapion. He was a philosopher, definitely not Christian. He wrote the wise king of the Jews. The wise king of the Jews. No agenda, no theology. And so when we see him, he's writing this letter. He's a political prisoner, and he's writing it to his son. And he says that people didn't follow the wise king of the Jews, or Socrates, or Pythagoras. He didn't follow any of those. And he's telling his son that people are giving up on wisdom. And so he's writing from his heart. So what advantage did the king of the Jews have by executing their king? All right, so if you want to dig deeper, take a picture of this, Google it all week long. We are just so deep in history, so deep in the weeds. I don't have any more cookies to give you to wake you up. But what we're talking about this morning is key and foundational to people who say that Jesus never lived. He never lived. So the history question is different than the faith question. They're not the same. We know he lived. We know he died. We know he started something. We know those things all happened from this history. And so what this evidence doesn't prove, though, it doesn't prove that Jesus performed miracles. It doesn't prove, I mean, to be fair and honest, and that's what you need to do with people who are debating. It's okay to admit that. It doesn't prove he rose from the dead. It doesn't prove he was divine. It doesn't prove any of those things. History doesn't prove or confirm supernatural claims. So as a music team comes, there's two very different questions. Did Jesus exist? That's settled. Now for you, the question becomes yours to answer. Is Jesus Lord? If he existed, we might need to deal with him. We might need to consider what he said and did that caused 2.6 billion people on earth to follow him. So I'm asking you, as you start in this journey, whether you're online or on here, whether you're seeking, whatever it is, to recognize Jesus was a historical character. So now it's time to say, what do I do with him? What do I do with him? The evidence, solid. The witnesses outside the Bible are hostile, but they confirm him. Jesus was definitely here. What do you do with him? I hope as you leave here, you have absolutely no doubt that Jesus existed and walked on this earth. And then over the next several weeks, we're going to look, next week, Jesus as teacher. We're going to look at the things that Jesus did. We're going to look on Easter at the resurrection and how that story spread like wildfire and why it spread. So if you're kind of doubting things and you're like, I don't know about any of this, what an awesome time to plug in and start asking those questions. Because Jesus did live. Now it's up to you to decide what to do with him. Lord, I pray that as we go this week, as we go and enter this Easter season, Father, that you would make your truth clear to us, that we would see you wherever we look, that we would see your goodness, your grace. Lord, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all these historians and that pointed to him through their writings. We thank you for all the archaeological digs that have proven thing after thing after thing, and that keeps happening. So Lord, go with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.